Good evening, Chinatown. It is the talking show. It's so long. It's July 8th. talking show. My name is Steve Cato, and I am not in the same room as my co-host Nicholas Miller, but I am in the same county.
Yes, it's true.
Cool. Definitely, yeah. Same county, different town.
Yep.
How are you, Nicholas?
Not bad. All things considered, there was, you know, Steve and I took a break last week, to enjoy.
What happened?
To enjoy, what seemed like, you know, the reopening of civilization, only to have it slammed shut back in our faces.
I was moving. That's my excuse.
Yeah.
We were like hauling stuff around.
Right.
And it just got away from me. Yeah. And I think you're being coy, cause you texted me, you were like day drunk. So you had just been partying all day. That's what this is my understanding of the situation. And when it became recording time o'clock, you were just like I imagined you were incapacitated.
Yeah. Yeah, it was maybe, I don't think I was that gone, but, I did have some Fernie Branca earlier in the day than I should have.
Oh, wow. So you also had, you were drunk and you had fresh breath.
And I had what?
Drunk and you had fresh breath.
Right. And a solid stomach.
Yeah. Anything you just put in there was immediately digested.
Yeah, exactly. Including more Fernie Branca.
Immediately transformed into perfect consistency bowel movements.
Mm-hmm.
As is the desire of most Europeans. Yeah, and just before we started recording, I guess, we were talking about friends of ours who had fancy European residencies lined up and who had had the fortune of actually like being productive as artists during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And how it just seemed so out of reach to me. I don't know. Have you managed to do a thing?
I've made like technical strides in the studio.
Yeah.
But nothing, it's hard. Like, I feel like when I get to a stage in a sculpture where there needs to be a lot of tedious work, it goes very fast.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm like, oh, I can't wait
right.
to put 6 hours in on just, you know, like moving those polygons around or whatever.
Great.
When I have to like make a big decision about how something will look or what the content will be, that goes much slower than usual because motivation's scant these days.
Yeah, I find that very hard as well. And I feel like maybe we've covered it as well, but I feel like it's easy to practice, like you say, like repetitive things. Like it's easy to practice. It's easy to try and like master a new technical thing, or you know, like I'll just take up another woodwind. Why don't I? You know, like things like that.
Hobo.
Yeah, it's I'm playing a clarinet, which is a single reed instrument. I'm playing a flute, which is a transverse blowhole instrument. And why don't I just make it a full hat trick and play a double reed instrument? Yeah, exactly. like the oboe, the contrabassoon, which is a lovely and evocative instrument. I don't think, far be it from us, hosts of a Baroque music party night.
Right.
At one point to bad. I wouldn't want anyone out there in the double reed community to think we are bad mouthing the cor anglais, the oboe, the bassoon, or the contrabassoon. They are
right.
a wonderful class of instrument.
Nor the rackets or sagbutts.
Which are, yeah, rackets, different things, but yeah, totally still very into those as well.
Yeah.
A sackbutt is a trombone, basically, right?
I have no idea.
That's what I believe. I believe it is a trombone with a much narrower conical bore. I guess maybe pipe was easier to manufacture than cones on the level in the brass forming of the Baroque period, and it was just not, so it was harder to play or harder to control, I guess. Because because something about the conical bore creates an easier to wrangle instrument in the physics of brass instruments, which is also why saxophone's so easy.
I see.
And clarinet's harder. Not like I'm trying to score any points with people by playing a clarinet, believe me. up. I feel like it's very hard to have, like, but then to make accomplishments creatively in this period, but then at the same time I'm like, one day, like, someone will try and do a studio visit with me in the future, and they'll just be like, you really don't do anything, do you? You know, and I'll be like, no, I move the things around. I've become a pretty good clarinet player.
Right.
You know, like, and
check
that's
this
what
out.
I'll have to say.
I can play neon lights on the clarinet. Yeah,
totally. Which is like not, not what we need. Not what I was hoping for, I guess, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Every now and again, I get these little flashes of power, and then they're just destroyed the next day by sort of like tasks, like, trying to find a way out of paying for Adobe again or what have you.
You'll feel pretty good when you figure that out.
Oh, my God. But all it will allow me to do is use Adobe products, which I also loathe, but
right.
must. You know, it's like finding a way to... This isn't bad. It's like, you know how when you're trying to do like TurboTax and you're like self-employed, but you didn't make any money?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to pay the poor people TurboTax price, which usually there's like a deal where like, if you truly didn't make any money, we won't charge you very much money for this.
Right.
And you're like, I want that basic thing. But they're like, oh, well, you know, since you're self-employed, you kind of have to use like the fancy TurboTax, and you have to like sort of like really educate yourself on how taxes work so that you can do your self-employed taxes. Like, it's not like you can't do them from basic TurboTax as a self-employed person. It's just that they won't give you any of the, like, the guides.
Yeah, I went through that earlier this year trying
to
figure that crap out.
You have to know what to ask for, you know? And so, like, you do that, but at the end of the day, all you do is file and pay your taxes. And that's kind of, like, how I feel about figuring out this Adobe thing. It's like, I can tie myself into a pretzel figuring this out or trying to transfer my working version over from another computer and see if that can work. But at the end of the day, like, I will just be, like, you know, doing Adobe InDesign or Adobe Illustrator for money, which, don't get me wrong, I'm happy to have the work, but it's not like what I do for kicks, you know.
Yeah.
it's not
clarinet. Geez.
It's not something I'm. And at least the thing about clarinet is at least I can feel like I'm making progress. You know, like I feel like, unlike everything else in the world, which seems to be just getting worse, every day I'm a little better at it. So that's good. And like same with the flute. But yeah. Jeez Louise, are you speaking of the grand reopening, but also I guess must be tempered with sadness that Major League Soccer is back on, but your hometown's Dallas team seems to entirely have coronavirus.
I don't watch that league. So I don't.
Wow,
I actually didn't even know that. I didn't even.
That
know
was
that.
Your poor. What Dallas?
Burn.
What is the Dallas MLS? The Dallas Burn.
They were called the. No, they're called
That's
FC
the name
Dallas.
Of the Dallas team?
No, they were called the Burn when I was growing up, but they changed names.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Mahalo.
Oh, I think I'm breaking up. Yeah, hello. Oh,
no. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think my Wi-Fi goes in and out.
Okay, cool.
Such are these unprecedented times.
They called the Dallas soccer team the Dallas Burn?
They did for a while. They changed it to FC Dallas, which is almost worse to me. But
I feel like the Dallas Burn is bad because it sounds like a rash or something like that you get in Dallas. It sounds like a problem. You know, you're like, what, you know, if I was going to visit Dallas for the first time, you'd be like, you know, just
right.
don't, you know, make sure you don't go into the water at the lake.
Right.
You know, you might get the Dallas Burn.
Yeah. It'd be like, okay, now we have the Tampa Clap. You're like,
Yeah, right. Totally. Totally.
I don't know about that, guys.
Yeah, the Minneapolis Girardia. Yeah, or alternatively, it's like an unpleasant kind of bullying, you know, like you sort of like walk into this is another persistent fear I have, is I will go to my first like large scale social gathering, probably in Europe somehow, when I'm allowed to travel to Europe, and Europe will have had social gatherings for a while now because of sane public health policy. And I'll be like amongst people for the first time, and I'll just open my mouth and say something totally stupid. I'll just be like absolutely bad at being in public and among people. And they won't be entertained. They'll all be offended because like society will have moved on. I will have been like preserved in amber here in Koreatown, like locked away in my tower. And someone will say something really witty that will like just destroy my entire personality. And someone else will be like, wow, that was a Dallas burn.
Yeah.
For a Swiss guy, you really deal out harsh Dallas burns.
Perhaps. Perhaps that'll be your fate.
Oh, God, I hope not. I don't know. Do you have any other than, I guess, obviously accelerating coronavirus producing rampaging death tolls? Do you have any reopening fears? Like, imagine it's happening. Imagine it's fine. Vaccines making its way through the population. And what are your anxieties?
I don't have any, I guess. I'm anxious for things to reopen in a safe way, people to be safe.
Yeah. And then other than that, you're not like worried that you're going to say something stupid. You're just fine.
No,
you're doing great.
Yeah. And my day-to-day life, I don't really need to see that many people anyway. So I'm not one of those people, fortunately, who has to worry about going, you know, being forced back to work or being forced to do this or that. So, I mostly just look forward to reopening, you know, when we're ready as a society, because it'll just mean seeing my friends again.
Right. Ooh. Yeah. I guess part of me feels like in here, I feel like you know, on a good day, I'm like, oh, people will be very kind to each other because they will be so happy just to see other people. But because the reopening is unequally distributed across like the world, there'll be places where like things will have moved on, you know, like you'll show up in, first of all, we'll all eventually have to move to Europe, I think, or Asia. We'll all meet again in Korea and the now unified Korea, and the new Berlin will be Pyongyang, and we will try and line up for like the equivalent of Berghain in Pyongyang, and they won't let us in because we'll be dressed like morons. We'll have been like living inside forever, and this is our first time going out, and we'll just look like trash, you know, whereas like the Koreans will have had like 2 years of like fully functioning, you know, public life by virtue of having had like a robust and sensible response to this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we will just be like absolutely unable, we'll just look like weird babies, or like, you know, like I'll like already I look insane, like I have like a Charlie Chaplin mustache. And I mostly in my hair sticks straight up, and I like wear blue karate pants that are just covered in cat hair, and I look like a monster. I look like a cross between like Howard Hughes, as you imagine him in Decline, and like the last Godhead Emperor of Japan.
You kind of sound like the kooky husband in a Noah Baumbach movie.
What are Noah like? All right, wait. Did he do the one that they made all the memes from with Adam Driver?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I'm Adam Driver?
No, I just feel like there's always like, you know, like not the main couple in the film, but a peripheral couple,
right.
And like, you know, there's like a, usually like a very intelligent husband who's like a little zany or something.
Uh huh. All right.
And it's like he dresses, Kramer. He dresses colorfully.
Right. Yeah. I feel insane. I feel like I after hearing about you and Ella getting a stationary bicycle, Meredith and I were provoked to get a fluid trainer, which is like a thing you can like park your bike in it, basically.
Mm-hmm. And is that the one where you can play a video game with it or something like that?
We just got the attachment that would enable us to play the video game. I have not played the video game yet. I hear our friends Ross and Justin play the video game.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Well, they I suppose when you play enough video games in general, you start looking for opportunities outside of the video game proper to play the video game, right? Like, yeah. Even the cycling is an opportunity to play the video game.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a real passion for simulation there.
Yeah, so conceivably, we could play the video game. I'm looking forward to that possibility.
I think
that's true.
Although
they're the only people I know in Phoenix, I like to think that it's a feature of Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean,
Phoenicians love the simulation.
They'd have to. I mean, you can't go outside for 90% of the year.
Right. That's exactly it, right?
It's Mars training.
But, you know, I went on a long bike ride in Los Angeles at the end of last week, and it was great. It felt really cool. I was really happy to do it. I guess all that cycling I was doing in Austin paid off, but... but yeah, so, you know, it's hot. Sometimes there's really bad air.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thought it would be nice to, be able to do the cycling inside as well. And there's certain kinds of training you can really do inside that you can't really do on a road unless you have like, you know, the Bonneville Salt Flats and it's like perfectly, you know, or like perfectly spaced hills, you know, like,
right.
Every so often you do the hill and then you go down, you know, whatever. So the environment doesn't really exist for some kinds of training. So, yeah, we got a fluid trainer and I went outside, walked around the back of the house to go get my bicycle. And I like looked at myself in the mirror on my way out the door and I was just like, oh, my God, like I look insane. And then like on top of that, like I'm manhandling this bicycle up the stairs and like trying to keep the cats from running outside. And I don't know. Yeah. I'm afraid of the reopening. I'm just going to stay hidden. I think that's maybe it. It's like, this is the end of me. I'm not coming out again. I'm going to stay in quarantine forever. And people can come talk outside my window and I'll speak to them through a lowered shade. But I only offer advice. I can't be engaged in conversation because mm-hmm. I don't even remember what that's like anymore.
I imagine like a, you know, black and white Italian realist film where we're like, Steve, they have a vaccine. There's a vaccine. And you're like, I don't believe any of you kids. Steve, please come outside.
Just like auto stationary trainer.
Yeah.
Like... where just like fully wearing bike shorts mm-hmm. all day. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It sucks.
His lungs filled with cat hair. He survived COVID but died from cat hair.
It's oh my God. Yeah. Oh boy. That's the other thing.
How is it settling back into your apartment in LA?
That's good. I mean, like, you know, I think with lots of people, except actually for my neighbors, people like Andrew Green and Amanda Galley, who have these extremely well-maintained, well-considered domestic spaces.
Yeah, with like one chair and a pole or something.
You know, but make it look good, you know, enjoy it. Consider your actual needs. I think like a lot of... people who aren't my neighbors, you know, our domestic space was sort of a casualty before leaving for Austin was sort of a casualty of inertia and really having like pretty exciting and busy lives outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Meredith was in school, and I enjoyed going out and doing things. And so the amount of time you would dedicate to the house was low. Mm-hmm. And even if you weren't fully satisfied with things, how much energy were you going to put into rethinking an arrangement and coming up with solutions to things, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Where does stuff go? Sorting all your stuff. So now that we're back, we haven't yet sort of picked up our stuff that was shipped from Austin, which was all stuff we were recently really using. And so we've just been making do with all the stuff that was left here. And there's so much of it. And we've been moving the furniture around and trying to come up with an arrangement that's like more commodious and more adult than previous. And it feels good. It feels like the living here is much better. It's much nicer now that it's not just a product of inertia. It's easier to clean.
Yeah.
There's less stuff. We've been taking out bags of stuff. And now, actually, I think because we're probably not alone in working on our house, I think it's, you know, a moment in culture. Goodwills are full. You can't donate stuff anymore.
Oh, and people probably aren't shopping either.
Well, I'm sure that the stock is declining slower than usual, but, you know, Goodwills are open. You can go buy stuff at Goodwill.
Interesting.
I think you have to, they only let so many people in at a time, you know, but, so Goodwill is open. I think there's probably multiple pressures on them, right? Like on the one hand, they need income. Two, they have all these volunteers who are part of their like training and treatment programs as well, right? Who need places to work and who need that income as well. And then, you know, there's pressure from people like us who are like, I need a place to dump all this stuff. Like, please take all these weird clothes I'm never going to wear again. Now that I'm just walking around in my like electric international Klein Blue karate pants covered in cat hair.
Sounds like there's room in the market for a competitor who doesn't, you know, limit the amount of people inside, doesn't require a mask, doesn't screen the objects. Perhaps we could call it Badwill.
You're bad. Yeah, shop at Badwill and immediately catch coronavirus.
Yeah. Badwill supports herd immunity.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Badwill.
I guess it's bad faith is the more traditional, but they had to change it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my God. I suppose that's just the rest of the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, yesterday actually we moved all the stuff that was in storage in my studio, mostly out to Meredith's studio, and that was neat. I mean, it's kind of sad around the old medical building in MacArthur Park. It's not very lively over there compared to how it used to be.
Are they not seeing COVID patients at places like that?
I mean, I'm sure unwittingly they are, but yeah. I think like many places, they're not seeing many people, period.
Okay.
You know, and you know, there are, unhoused people who are hanging out there, but there's not as many, people in the encampments, for whatever reason, whether it's police discipline or, you know, heaven forbid that there's actually like been social programs that have helped with these things. I'm not really sure what the situation is. I didn't watch it develop. I suppose I could do some research. But yeah, so it's a little lonely. You know, there's all the sort of street life that's normally there. Obviously it's like a tough time to be a street vendor.
Yeah. Chinatown. The few times I've been to Chinatown the last few months is entirely desolate.
Yeah,
not even any cars parked in the street.
Yeah,
it's
I biked all the way down Broadway from. I did like a big sort of tour of the north end of the city. I like biked on the other side of Griffith Park and then came back along the bike trail, the river bike trail.
I see.
And it came back down through Broadway, and yeah, there was no one around. Yeah, I wonder when things will start feeling like, well, it's It's for the best, I suppose. That's truly it. I mean, it would be kind of terrifying if MacArthur Park was going off like normal. Yeah. Anywho. But yeah, we hung out in MacArthur Park for a while loading up the truck. And on Friday, we're going to go get all our stuff that was with us in Austin. And then we'll truly be settled and we'll just have to try and find places for everything.
Yikes.
You know, find a way of living with all this stuff. Yeah, our collection of bicycles.
Right. Your thin drums.
My very thin drums. yeah, which I think there's... Actually, the funny part is after being away for a long time, my studio, and now that it's empty, my studio now feels like very spacious to me.
It's like a jam.
So maybe...
Jam corner. Sure,
no, yeah, and no one will probably resent me playing drums. I don't think anyone's around.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be like that video that was circulating early on of the guy in Italy who was playing Imagine by John Lennon out of the window, and you know, everyone was so touched. There'll be a similar viral Instagram video of, you know, someone doing, I don't know, I don't even know good drumming terms, like wild triplets or something, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever drummers look forward to doing.
I mean, the funny part is that it's one of those things where I feel like public knowledge is so low, or the threshold for like people really like Wipeout and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
But like Wipeout's really easy. And it's not hard, you know?
Right.
And
so is Imagine.
I guess that's true. But there's nothing where people are like, you know, like you could be playing like Phil Collins is In the Air Tonight for like minutes.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's mostly a drum machine, but then the part that people recognize, it's over with very quickly. And no one has like feelings about it. You know, no one's like, oh man, remember when someone played that on the drums?
Yeah.
I'll just play Imagine on the drums.
Right.
It's just like sort of middling, slow-paced rock drumming.
Right. Listen to those perfect fills. See, humanity will survive.
I was so moved when someone played the drum part to Imagine over MacArthur Park.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow, no one will care.
Yeah.
I could annoy my neighbors with it too.
Well, you know how like in movies where people are say stranded in outer space or on islands or whatnot, they have to, you know, they have to make up their own way of marking time. As if mechanical time will still have such a strong grip on the psyche when you're not in society, but who knows, maybe it would. I feel like here at the
I feel like in those movies, just as a thing, it's like how they feel like they have a grip on society, right? It's like how Robinson Crusoe remains connected to Europe is through marking mechanical. Anyway, sorry.
Sure. No, that it's what keeps them tethered to the systems of control that got them there. I feel like, you know, that I can't think of any particular example, but there must be kind of anniversaries in those measurings of time. And I feel like we're approaching one here on the talking show. Because every week we've done an episode and we've called it, you know, coronavirus number one, number two. And in a few short weeks, we will be at coronavirus 19.
Oh, wow.
COVID-19. That'll be a watershed. 19. A watershed episode.
Wow. We're going to have to do something exciting or interesting so that way we can talk about it on that episode.
Exactly. I'm just setting it out to our listeners now that, you know, we're on, as far as by my accounting, we're on 15. So, you know, in 4 short weeks, we'll be on COVID-19. And that one will be a humdinger.
These have been among the dullest episodes of the Talking Show so far. Because at a certain point, the terror subsided and Nicholas and I have just been leading boring lives of like, in my case, like just deteriorating.
Yep.
I've just been like quietly merging into like a gray gardens of my own. now, so like, I it's amazing I can barely string together a sentence, I suppose. But yeah.
Yeah.
We got to come up with something cool. This is cool. This is a prompt. This is a deadline.
Yep,
this
exactly.
This is how we'll motivate ourselves to be fully creative people again, as opposed to just blobs.
And I mean, the way these things work, we know that episode 17 will be tough. It'll feel like a slump. But then, you know, 18, there'll be have a lot of anticipation, and then 19 will blow them out of the water.
19 is going to be amazing.
Yep.
Wow, Nicholas, thanks for reminding me of that. That's good. That's like some positive motion in my life that, well, you know, in general, I've always suffered from lack of structure. It's hard for me to be a self-starter often.
Well, here you go,
and,
Steve.
Yeah. Episode 19. Here we go, folks.
Yeah. Well, we should get some rest in preparation because this is going to take quite a bit of effort.
Yeah, just thinking thoughts is hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to come up with an opinion about Gul Dukat before I watch this episode of Deep Space Nine. Wow. Is he really that bad? I don't know. Sometimes he seems kind of reasonable.
he falls in love at some point, right? Or you see like a lost love he's had.
Yeah. And how far along are you? Have you gotten to the part where he finds God?
No, I think we dipped out for a while.
Oh man. Do you know what, have you encountered the phenomenon of paw wraiths yet?
Paw what?
Wraiths.
I don't think so.
Okay, I think that's kind of when Deep Space Nine jumps the shark. Like, there's a while where it's, like, really great, and then there's, like, bring on the paw wraiths, and you're like, oh,
no,
guys,
no.
You blew it. But anyway, yeah, we need our beauty sleep here on the talking show, for sure.
Yeah. Well, good talking to you, Steve.
A pleasure.
Stay
yeah.
safe. Stay masked. Fight the war effort.
Wow. Wash your hands.
Yeah. All right. Good morning, Chinatown.
Good morning, Chinatown.